From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. At least $12 million in political advertising has blanketed the airwaves in Iowa ahead of Tuesday's Republican presidential caucuses. As NPR's Joel Rose reports, most are funded by new independent groups aligned with the candidates.
After a slow start, the attack ads in Iowa are coming thick and fast, complete with scary voices and questionable claims.
Politicians who supported bailouts and mandates, serial hypocrites and flip-floppers.
Brutally attack Mitt Romney and hope Newt Gingrich is his opponent.
And a real question of seriousness, serious question of seriousness.
In the final days of the Iowa campaign, most of the TV ads on the air are deeply negative. Analysts say that's thanks in large part to the proliferation of outside groups known as super PACs that are doing the dirty work for the candidates they support. The biggest target may be Newt Gingrich, whose campaign apparently lacks the money to retaliate. But Rick Perry, Ron Paul, and Mitt Romney are taking their share of knocks, too. Joel Rose, NPR News.
North Korea's top ruling body says there will be no change in policies following the death of leader Kim Jong-il. NPR's Mike Schuster reports from Seoul, South Korea, that the North also says it will not deal with South Korea's conservative government.
The comments were attributed to the National Defense Commission, North Korea's most powerful governing group, made up of the country's most important political and military leaders. The message came just a day after Kim Jong-il's funeral and memorial, which elevated his son Kim Jong-un to the rank of supreme leader. The commission statement read, "The foolish politicians around the world, including the puppet group in South Korea, should not expect any change from us." It added, "We will never deal with the traitor group of Lee Myung-bak." Lee is the conservative president of South Korea who abandoned an earlier opening in relations with North Korea known as the Sunshine Policy. Diplomats in Seoul and in Washington were hoping for some signs of change in North Korea's policies, especially in connection with its nuclear weapons program. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Seoul.
Russian officials say there is no radiation leak from a fire on a nuclear submarine, and they say the flames have been put out. Some crew members are reportedly still on the sub, which was being repaired at a Navy shipyard in the north, while about a half dozen people were taken to hospitals after inhaling toxic fumes. Officials say the fire started when some wooden structures ignited and the blaze spread to the submarine. They also say the sub's nuclear reactor had been shut down and its nuclear-tipped weapons removed before the repairs started. Muslim leaders in New York City are boycotting Mayor Michael Bloomberg's interfaith breakfast today. They're protesting increased police efforts to gather intelligence in their communities. The mayor says everything is within the law.
We just go wherever there are leads.
He says the breakfast is a great chance for leaders of all faiths to get together. From Washington, this is NPR News. While the movie The Iron Lady focuses on Margaret Thatcher's persona and broad historical contributions as Prime Minister of Britain, Larry Miller reports secret papers just released provide other non-fictional insights.
Official papers with Thatcher's hand-scribbled comments show she led a deeply divided cabinet. When rioting broke out in 1981, Thatcher secretly discussed issuing firearms to the police. A year before the Falklands War, she was sternly warned by defense chiefs that cuts would mean dismantling the Navy. The papers show Thatcher considered pulling British troops out of Northern Ireland when the international spotlight fell on IRA hunger strikers. In a lighter insight, Thatcher criticized civil servants for spending $4,000 to decorate her Downing Street flat. She insisted on using her own crockery and paying $30 for an ironing board. That's some distance from last year's parliamentary expense scandal. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Times Square in New York City is getting ready for New Year's Eve. Workers are putting more than 200 new crystal triangles on the Waterford New Year's Eve ball that will drop tomorrow night. That makes for more than 2,600 crystals altogether. And organizer Lori Raimondo says confetti is carefully tested ahead of time.
We don't just drop it without testing it. We have to make sure that it is floats properly. So we need to make sure it floats and it flutters and it's magical. It doesn't just come out in a big clump.
People from around the world write their hopes and dreams on the confetti, and that includes celebrities. Raimondo says the mayor and actors, including Robert De Niro, have contributed their wishes. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.